Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
This weekend will be bittersweet for fans of Game of Thrones as HBO launches the long-awaited eighth and final season. The first of the final episodes airs Sunday, wrapping up a story that has spanned 9 years with countless characters woven into a complex narrative. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans knows all about this television phenomenon. Hi, Eric.
Hi.
So first of all, it's worth noting that in an era when we have so many choices, HBO has been attracting an average of more than 32 million viewers per episode in the United States alone. So this is a hugely popular show. It has spawned a squillion cultural references. But beyond that, do you think it's going to go down?
Is that a technical term?
Exactly. That's right. It's one of those Nielsen terms. But will it go down in the annals of TV history as an important TV show?
Oh, I think without a doubt. I mean, beyond the fact that it is drawing a level of viewership that very few TV shows get to at this day and age, especially on cable, especially on premium cable where people pay an extra amount of money to see it, it has brought epic movie-level filmmaking to television. Reportedly, the budgets per episode for that show have swelled from $5 million to something like $15 million an episode. And so they have brought together the worlds of filmmaking and television in a new way, and they've set a precedent for what is considered epic filmmaking on television that producers will be striving to meet and exceed, I think, for many years to come.
But is it sustainable? I mean, is this maybe why it's ending, because it costs so much to produce in the first place?
No, I think this is ending in part because a story this complex can only go on for so long. And we've seen this with a lot of sort of complex, serialized TV shows. They really can't go much beyond 5, 6, 7 seasons. And so it's interesting that there's still so much a love for the show now, so much excitement that it's coming back, even though it's been gone for a long time. I think HBO's ending it at just the right time. And the story's starting to get so complex that even the fans won't be able to follow it anymore. And that's when you know it's time to bring a series like this in for a landing.
So, as you said, it's been a while since the last episode of Game of Thrones. So tell us where the series is picking up from now.
That may be the toughest question you asked me today. It's a really complex story. But basically, overall, there's two big crises that are affecting this sort of Lord of the Rings kind of world. One of them is that there's this huge zombie army of undead people that are coming down from the north to face and threaten everything that's living that we know in this universe. And in addition to that, you have all these warring families that are trying to get control of the Iron Throne, which is the royalty that rules this whole continent of Westeros.
So, as you said, it has a lot of subplots, meaning a lot of characters, some of whom are real favorites among audience members. And I wonder who you think audiences will look forward most to seeing for this final season, and even if they won't see them for too much longer.
Right. Kit Harington's character, Jon Snow, the character that we heard in the previous clip, might be a lot of people's favorite. He's been sort of positioned as the hero of the series. When we met him when the series started, he seemed very humble, someone who is the illegitimate son and not destined to be anywhere near being royalty or being on the throne. Now we've learned that he's actually the product of a secret marriage between two people who had the strongest claim on the throne. So he has the strongest claim on the throne. We don't know how he's going to react if and when he finds out about this in the final season. There's lots of great sort of soldier characters that I love. They're the working stiffs of Game of Thrones. They're the guys who just, want to get out there and make a little money and make it home at the end of their shift, as it were. And there's one character named Bronn, who I like a lot, who fits that bill. But I suspect a lot of people would say that Peter Dinklage's character, Tyrion Lannister, might be their favorite. He's the wittiest character. He's the smartest character. He's also the most sympathetic. He's a little person who's sort of the outcast son of the richest family in the realm, and they're the ones who sit on the throne right now, and he's actually been in conflict and at war with them throughout much of the series. He's also very rueful about how everyone in that very macho, very athletic, physical world, makes fun of him for his height. And he has a little bit where he talks about what it's like to have people crack jokes about your height when you're a little person in that world. And we have a clip, so let's check it out.
Everyone who makes a joke about a dwarf's height thinks he's the only person ever to make a joke about a dwarf's height. The height of nobility, a man of your stature, someone to look up to. You're all making the same five or six jokes.
It was a long time ago.
It was. And how have things been going for you since then?
So people who joke about him in that way, they tend to get their comeuppance. So it'll be good to see what if that pans out in the final season.
And Peter Dinklage, you know, even if Game of Thrones is coming to an end, he always ends up doing something interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's an amazing actor, and he's been able to show it in so many ways on this show.
NPR TV critic Eric Deggans, our big star on this show. Thank you so much, Eric. Nice to talk to you.
Always a pleasure.